Please turn to Psalm 90. Turn to Psalm 90. Psalm 90 is written by Moses, and the context, I believe that Moses penned this as he was working and walking through the wilderness with the children of Israel. And we all know how rebellious his people were and how faithful God was. And so we need to remember the faithfulness of God, who he is, and his faithfulness. Many of us go through different and trying circumstances. Hunter and Elizabeth, very difficult. And I've seen their faith strong, and that's enabling them to continue on, and for Hunter to be here this morning. We have a tendency to say, why? What's the cause of this? And as I was studying Psalm 90 this week, the question should not be why, but it should be, God, help me through this. God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And there sometimes God works in us in ways we do not understand. But the important thing is, God is working and God is sovereign. We would do well to focus on God and what he's doing in our lives instead of questioning why. And this is what Psalm 90 is about. It's about life and the difficulties of life. And as we look at this psalm, particular verses in this psalm, we're going to see who God is and his faithfulness to his people. And we hurt also, not only with Hunter and Elizabeth, but others of you who are going through difficult times. Judy and Sam and Edna, Payon. And this is where we need to be reminded of God, his love for us and his faithfulness to us. So before we read and study Psalm 90, shall we pray? O God, our Heavenly Father, we humble ourselves in your presence and come with confidence to your throne of grace to receive your mercy and your grace and your love in our time of need. And Father, I thank you for Hunter and Elizabeth and how you're working in their lives and the faith that you have placed in them and how you're giving them day by day the ability to continue on. And so we hurt with them. And I pray for healing for Hunter and Elizabeth, that you'd be with Sam in a special way and for us as a church. And as we look into your word at this moment, by your Spirit, speak to our hearts. Remind us of who you are and how you work in our lives, even in those times that we don't understand and are so difficult to deal with. May your children be spiritually refreshed and renewed and encouraged as we study together. And I pray, Father, for those here today who might not have Jesus Christ as their Savior, that you open their hearts and minds to your love, your grace and mercy. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let us stand for the reading of God's holy word. Psalm 90. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You return man to dust and say, return, O children of man, for 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night. You sweep them away as with a flood. They are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed. In the evening it fades and withers. For we are brought to an end by your anger. By your wrath we are dismayed. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. For all our days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh. The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength 80. Yet their span is but a toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. Who considers the power of your anger and your wrath according to the fear of you? So teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, and for as many years as you have seen evil. Let your work be shown to your servants and your glorious power to their children. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Amen. You may be seated. Moses talks a lot about God's wrath and anger against the sin of the people. And he's reflecting on the children of Israel who have rebelled against God. And this morning I want us to reflect not on the anger of God against our sin, for as we gather to worship and we confess sin and we repent and ask for forgiveness, we are forgiven. So what I want us to focus on this morning are the gems in this verse of God's promise to us when we confess our sin and how God works in us. And so we need to begin with the first two verses of Psalm 90. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations, before the mountains were brought forth and or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. And there's where you and I must always begin in our lives, regardless of what we are facing, regardless of how difficult and how hard it is to get through another day, we need to remember that God is sovereign, that He's working His eternal decree in each of us every day. And sometimes that decree involves some difficult situations in life where we are remembered of our total dependence on God in those difficult and trying times. No, I can't make it. No, I don't know how I'm going to go through another day. And you make it by His grace and by His power. We should never forget who God is. And then we go from there to verses 10 and 11. The years of our life are 70, or even by reason, strength, 80. God determines our lifespan. Some gets 70 years, some 80, some 90. I'll stop there. Some don't get that many. But it's all in the hand of God and in the plan of God how much time each of us gets. And He is our God from the time there's conception to the time we go to be with the Lord, those who trust in Christ. And so we have this hope that because of our faith in Christ, we have eternal life. And our children, covenant children who die in infancy, are with the Lord. David, the king, the horrendous sin of adultery and murder, and the child was born. And David wept and he fasted and he prayed and he was in anguish. And the Lord took the baby home. And he was approached by his servants and he was given the news, and David arose and he took a shower and he put on clothes and he ate. And they didn't understand it. Well, why are you eating now? The child has died. And David said, I cannot bring him back, but I will go to be with him. And that's the covenant promise God's given to us as parents. That should God in His sovereign grace choose to take a child, and because of the faith of the parents, the child goes to be with the Lord. That's where Charlotte is. Oh, it hurts. But the hope that she's there is based on God and His Word. And that's what we cling to. And so whatever days God chooses to give us, what are we doing with them? What are we doing with this? Look at verse 12 of this psalm. So teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. So teach us to number our days. In the Hebrew, the word number comes first. And the word number here would refer to the plan that God has for us and how we carry out that plan and how we evaluate that plan as we live day by day. And so we start with numbering our days. God has a plan for each of us. Wouldn't you like to know exactly what it is? I can tell you what God's plan is for me tonight, for today. And it's by walking by faith. God is sovereign. He has a plan for each of us every day. You're here right now for this sermon because God had it in plan for you to be here. God has planned this. And He wants us to be reminded of who He is. Now there's a carrying out of that plan. That's obedience. What you and I learn here today by the Holy Spirit from His Word, we are to meditate on it, think about it, and look at our own lives. Am I carrying out on a daily basis the plan God has for me? In other words, I get up, I get dressed, and I go do what God would have me to do and to be. And I try my best by all appointed means of grace and the power of the Holy Spirit to be a witness for Jesus Christ wherever I go and whatever I do and whatever I say and whatever I think. That's our responsibility. And then I evaluate, how well did I do today? How well did I treat that person that was so frustrating to me? Did I show that person the love of God? Did I try to help that person in need that I saw? Did I have an attitude in that situation that was pleasing and honoring to God? Am I depending on myself and all of my abilities, or am I depending on the sovereign God who's there with me and for me in everything in life? That's how we number our days. It's all about Christ and not about us. It's all about Christ and our walk and our relationship with Him on a daily basis. Brothers and sisters, we need to number our days in this manner. The days here refers to our activities in the whole day. Have I pleased God in the meditations of my heart? Have I pleased God in the desires of my heart? And when God works in my life, and when He works in your life, do I get angry with what He's doing? And do I throw a tantrum when He doesn't do what I think He ought to do? Or do I accept the will of God in my life and realize that He's working in me to conform me to the image of Christ? You know, we quote Romans 8:28, For we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. And we believe that until God does something we don't like. That means we accept the will of God in our lives in everything, regardless of how difficult it is. Because when God works in us in difficult and trying ways, we have a tendency to be more focused on Christ, to pray harder, to pray more focused, and to experience the power of Christ in us. We have this peace of heart of mind which surpasses all understanding. And those around us look at us and say, "How are you doing this?" And it's only by the grace of God that we are. And I'm sure some of you are sitting here thinking, "How did Hunter get up here? How did he do it?" And he told you, by the grace and power of God. And how is Elizabeth going day by day? By the same way, by the grace and power of God. And how are each of us going through our lives on a daily basis? By the same grace and power of God. We just need to acknowledge it, receive it, and be thankful for it. Teach us. Oh, this word teach is awesome. It literally translates, cause us to know. Cause us to know what you're doing in our lives. It's not luck. It's not chance. It's not my own manipulating and maneuvering and controlling. It's God sovereignly working. And He's working. He's working in every one of us here today. He's working in this church. He's working in individuals and in individual families. I hope all of us can see this. He's working in you personally, as He's working in me. And so we need to just know God and see Him in every circumstance and every situation. Notice also in verse 12, as He teaches us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. The word get there, the verb, means that God may cause us to get a heart in our innermost being, in the depth of our being. We have wisdom. And in that wisdom, it's God's way of teaching us and leading us in life. And so we have this wisdom. This wisdom comes with discipline. It comes with being devout and being productive. Being devout, as God works in us, it will cause us to be more committed to Him, more consecrated to Him, more dedicated to Him. The longer we're in Christ and Christ works in us and the Spirit of God moves in us, He will cause us to be more dedicated to Him and to realize just really how dependent we are on Him and how fragile life is. That's being devout. Then it causes us to be disciplined. That is, to walk in obedience, knowing how God works in us and causing us not to be pulled away from the desires of the world and the things of the world. I don't want those. God's blessings to each of us are much better than anything the world has to offer. It's so important we realize this. And through this, we become productive. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul writes that they are comforted with the comfort from others that we may comfort you. One of the things that you and I need to understand, that when God brings us through those times that are so trying and so difficult and so hard, He's equipping us to encourage someone else down the road. I remember when I was in Russia, And I was teaching in a church, and the pastor never came to the worship service. And I thought that was a bit unusual, but they told me he was sick. And I said, okay, we prayed for him. The last night that I was there, I was told that I was going to the pastor's house for dinner. And I said, and he's sick, right? I don't know about that. And they said, oh, you're not going to catch anything. Okay. So I go to the pastor's house, and he's sitting in the living room. He's healthy as he can be. And we went to the dining room table, and he started pouring his heart out of what he had, what he was going through as a pastor. And I had been through the same thing. And I could sit there and understand his pain and encourage him. I was able to comfort him with the comfort God had given to me. And so when you and I face difficulties in life, challenges in life that you and I would really rather not have, we need to realize, yeah, this is a hard way to be equipped to comfort other people, but it's a way that God's going to use you mightily in the life of someone else. And so God strengthens us and equips us to serve Him so He can take us and let us serve in somebody else's life. That's what life is all about. Look at verse 14. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad in all of our days. Each morning is significant of a new day and a new beginning. And look what is said here. Satisfy us in the morning with what? Your steadfast love, your commitment to me personally. Make me glad. I'm looking forward to this day and what's going to take place and what you're going to do and how you're going to use me in the work of your kingdom. Look at verse 15. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us and for as many years as we have seen evil. Oh, make us glad. Turn those evil days. Give us as many or more days of joy and happiness. We forget those difficult times. We remember the joy of our salvation. Verse 16. Let your work be shown to your servants and your glorious power to their children. This is it, brothers and sisters. This is it. Let your work be shown to your servants. Let us see you working in us. Let us realize what you're doing in us. And then your power to your children. Let people see the power of Christ in me and in you. Let them see that we're not throwing in the towel on life, but we have a living Savior, the Spirit of God in us, and we're going to persevere. And we want people around us to see it, that God is real and is living in each of us. And then verse 17, let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us. Look at the name Lord. It's Yahweh, the covenant God of grace, the immutable God who never changes in His being on His relationship with His children. God is Elohim, the omnipotent God. Oh, that we would all experience the omnipotence of God in our lives. When we are weak, He is strong. When we think we can't make it, we can. Let us experience that. And you will experience it in Christ and in your walk with Him. Oh, I just wanted, as this message was put on my heart, I thought this would be so encouraging for all of us to hear today. In light of our church family with Hunter and Elizabeth and Sam, with what you are facing individually as families and in this world in which we live that can cause so much anxiety. Always go back to verses 1 and 2 of Psalm 90. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you were God.